Chapter 5. Joel treaded water for another few seconds, looking across the deceptively smooth surface of the river. There was nothing there. No faint difference in the appearance of the water. Nothing to give a hint of danger. How wide across was the hole? Where did Tony go under? Would he still be where he went down? Or would the current have carried him away by now? How long could a person be underwater and still live? The questions came at Joel in a barrage, leaving no space for answers, if there were any answers. There wasn't time to wait for them anyway. He made a lunging dive, pulling himself forward and under with both arms, his eyes open and smarting in the murky water. He couldn't see more than a few inches in front of his face, so he reached in every direction with his hands as he swam, feeling for an arm, a leg, a bit of hair, anything. He found nothing until he touched something slimy and rotting on the bottom and sprang to the surface. He ducked under the water again, reaching on every side, looking and feeling until the river sang in his ears and he burst through to the light, pulling raggedly for air. The current would have pulled Tony downstream. He let the river carry him a few feet farther and on and tried again. Nothing. When Joel dove for the fourth time, letting the current carry him farther from the shore, he found himself caught in the grip of that hurrying water. It sucked at him, grinding him against the silty river bottom. As he struggled to rise, grasping at the water with both hands, as if he could pull himself up by it, his hand touched something solid. Was it Tony, floating just above him? He thrashed toward the object, only to have the current draw it from his reach. Then he was swirling, spinning, being pulled toward the bottom again, while a dark, boy-shaped object pivoted above him, face down in the muddy water. Tony was dead! Dead! And he, Joel, was going to die too. He couldn't breathe. His lungs were a sharp pain. The air came bursting from his chest like an explosion, and the water rushed in to take its place. The form that had ridden above him brushed against his arm, his side. It was rough, hard. No human body. It was a log. Joel grabbed hold and his head broke through the light, dazed surface just as the rest of his body gave in to limpness. He lay for a few minutes, coughing, spitting water, being moved without any assistance on his part from the eddying whirlpool to the slower, straighter current close to the riverbank. When the river bottom came up to meet his feet, he stood. The sky was an inverted china bowl above his head. A single bird sang from a nearby tree. "Shut up!" Joel wanted to shout. "You just shut up!" But he didn't. He didn't say anything. Instead, he bent over double and vomited a stream of water. Strange, that river water in small amounts looked clean. Joel could see everything with a sharp, terrible clarity. The river water he vomited, the bare roots of a tree thrust above the water, the steady progress of the river toward, where did it go? Toward the Illinois River? And the Illinois River emptied into the Mississippi, didn't it? They had studied rivers in school, but he couldn't remember. He looked around. Still, nothing disturbed the smooth surface of the water, and nothing skulked along the bank. No hidden form. He might have been the only human being alive in the entire world. If he found Tony, if he found him hiding somewhere on the bank, he would beat him to a bloody pulp. He would never speak to him again, never do anything with him again. It was a dirty trick, the dirtiest trick Tony had ever pulled. A shiver convulsed Joel, though the sun was still bright and hot. And he began to move woodenly toward the spot where he had left his clothes. He would get dressed and... He stood there over his pile of clothes. Tony's clothes were scattered on the ground, exactly where he had dropped them. Tony couldn't have gotten out of the water. Not even Tony would be running around stark naked just for a joke. Joel turned back to face the river again, squinting against the sunlight that glinted off the rippling surface. It wasn't possible. It couldn't be. It was all a terrible dream from which he would awaken any moment. Far above him, a car rumbled across the bridge. Wait! Joel screamed, coming out of the trance in which he had been standing over Tony's clothes. Stop! Help! He ran toward the bridge, flailing his arms. But the car was too far away for anyone to hear, to see. It moved smoothly up the hill on the other side of the bridge. Joel stopped in his tracks, trembling, his teeth chattering in erratic burst, and then ran back to his clothes. He grabbed his jeans from the pile, letting his underpants and shirt tumble to the ground. His hands shook so violently that he could barely hold the jeans up to step into them. The heavy material stuck against his wet skin. He tried to stuff his feet into his sneakers, gave up, and began to run toward the highway, still struggling to fasten the jeans. There would be another car coming soon. There had to be. As he ran, he paid no attention to where he stepped. He looked down once after tripping and picking himself up to see that his big toe was bleeding, but it might have been someone else's toe. He felt nothing. A thistle beneath his left foot only made him move faster, up the hill, his lungs pumping. The air seemed to hold him back exactly as the water had earlier. By the side of the highway, he doubled over, vomited again, and then stood erect. He had to get help. Maybe Tony could still be saved if he got help. The road climbed away from the river on each side, empty, bare. There wasn't a single car or truck in view. The only movement anywhere was a black crow wheeling high in the sky. Joel turned toward home and began to run blindly up the middle of the highway. He could feel the river just beyond him, a presence, a lurking monster waiting to pounce, a monster that swallowed boys. Joel increased his speed, his heart hammering against his ribs, his bare feet slapping against the dark pavement.